Today we'll be talking about something that is very, very, very touching, and I hope that it will be touching to all of you. All of us know this text, right? If you have been a Seventh-day Adventist church before, you have heard this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. How many of you feel comfortable when somebody addresses you as a saint? Oh, I heard one that I like. But most of us sometimes feel a little bit like a fish out of the water, right? We don't feel very comfortable. I have been doing this for quite a while now. I've been calling you holy. We preach here three sermons about holiness. And if you are not here, probably you do not understand when I call you holy people. But if you were here, you understand the concept of holiness. Last week, in our baptismal class, we addressed the book of Leviticus. And we asked the people, do you know what is the book of Leviticus all about? Especially those of you that are Seventh-day Adventists for a while. Leviticus 11. All of us got that wrong. We all do. We all think this about what to eat, what not to eat. What is clean, what is not clean. The whole book, not only Leviticus 11, is about holiness. Because you cannot be holy and unclean. You cannot have unclean behavior and be holy. Holiness is when you empty yourself of all that is evil and allow God to reside in you and produce the works of the Almighty One. That is holiness. And all of you have been called to be holy. Sometimes you may act not in a very holy manner. But because of God's grace, we all have opportunity to go back. And as the beautiful song that my brother just presented to us here, the words very touching. He is running to us and expects us to run to him. That is what holiness is all about. Holiness is a process. It is not a degree that you get, a diploma that you get, and you step, and nothing else can change from there on. There are people out there that says, once saved, always saved, which is a deceptive attitude. And I call it attitude. It's just an attitude that I entitled. Even in religion, they use that attitude that we're entitled to. And they take a document, a baptism certificate, and they think that that's it. Or they go and take the Holy Communion, as the Roman Catholics say, and they think that that's it. This is it. So what it says here, the patience of the saints, says those that are in the process of forever sanctification, and that will take place when the Lord comes and we are transformed. But until then, sanctification is a process. It is not something that you acquire in a moment and you go on acting like holy than thou. Look at the trouble that we have got Satan into it. He got that attitude in heaven and now he's a demon. And then we had a bunch of them with him. And so he says, here are those. This is the ID that identifies who the saints are. He says, saints, but who are they? Oh, let's describe them. They are the ones who live according to God's will. Who sanctifies? No one can be holy unless God is inside of them. Because his presence is what sanctifies us. And then says, and the faith of Jesus. And the faith of Jesus. What is the faith of Jesus? If you go through his scriptures, it's the same of the Father. Because the Father and I are one. His teachings, my teachings are the same. So, there are some people out there that call themselves Christians. And even the devil are jealous of them. Because the devil, even the devil says, I never thought something like that. I can step myself as a Christian and go on behave like the devil. And the people, everybody still call me a Christian. And so, there's a lot of people there that have fake IDs. they are claiming something that they are not. And I hope that you have the true ID, the one that God has given to you. Now, we put this together, and I want you to look at it for a moment. Because everything that I put there has an intent, has a purpose, has a message in itself. Have you noticed that the symbol came in? What it came in is the Bible, and there's a cross, and there's the world, and there is the light of the Holy Spirit, but in three messages.
Yeah.
Which is the three messages, the heart of the three messages? Worship Abba, worship the Creator, and no one else. Not the beast, so you won't become a beast yourself. Not the dragon, so you don't start burning yourself and burn others. Not with the false prophet, because you're not a fool, but because you're a saint. And that's what is the three angels' message. Let's worship the one who created us and the only one who deserves to be worshipped. Everything else is a fake. And so, if you notice, you didn't, I'll call your attention to, I put the word the Adventist behind the clock and in front of the clock. What I'm trying to say to this, to convey to you, is that a Seventh-day Adventist did not start in 1863. Seventh-day Adventist did not start in 1844. Today, I want to show you exactly what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Okay? You are not a member of an organization only. You are a member of a church that existed thousands, to be precise, over 6,000 years ago. And I will show to you biblically how we stand as a church. And I hope from now on, all of you that are Seventh-day Adventists, you're never going to say again, I'm part of a denomination, a Protestant denomination, that started in 1863. You have no idea who you are then. The Adventists, who are they? Yes. What is somebody ask you, who are you? What is the first question that usually we answer? We tell people our name, right? When people say, who are you? Oh, let's try this lady here. Who are you? Yes, who are you? Yeah, what is your name, sister? Yes, Diana Kisaka. That's how, when people ask her who she is, and people ask more, she will say, oh, I'm married to Clinton Kisaka. Then she will ask more, something more. She says, oh, I have two young, good-looking boys. One is up there. All right, the one is controlling my microphone. And then, if you keep asking, she'll talk about her father, we'll talk where she came from. All those details that identifies who she is. But I know for sure that in somewhere in the conversation, she will say, I am a Seventh-day Adventist. Let's continue. Do you know what it means to be an Adventist? Many of us sadly think the answer to this question means to belong, to have my name on the church. Oh, my name is on the Vista books, on the Vista church, or in the Samoan church, or in the San Marcos church, or the Escondida church, or in the Romalinda church. We define our membership by where we attend. Isn't that what we are? Is where we are going that makes us where we are? Or we are, and then we are going to a place that matches what we are. The next question that I have here is, what is the seventh day in our name? Why do we use the seventh day in our name? Is that seventh day Adventist is a believer who celebrates God's seventh day Sabbath. Seventh-day Adventist is a believer who celebrates God's seventh-day Sabbath. Why I chose the word celebrate? Because that's what the Bible uses. But some people, the seventh day is a day of a torment. Is the hardest day of the week. I can't. Oh, my. We become a hypocrite, a Pharisee, because we approach the Sabbath as a duty instead of a celebration. A burden. Something that we have to carry. It was supposed to carry weight on the Sabbath. Unless we are the weight. From this belief, we get the first part of our church ID. And I put the word, I put the initials ID, because it is our individual denomination. It's our individual description. That's what an ID is, an individual description. A description of who you are as a person. So I stand for individual, indeed for description. Okay? Now, Adventist. The term Adventist comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means arrival or appearance. It is where we get the word Advent, which refers to the arrival of someone or something very, very, very important. In the Roman Catholic Church, they also celebrate the Advent. And all the churches out there, they call Christians, the daughters of Babylon, they also celebrate Advent. When they talk about Christmas, okay? So they use that Advent. So we are not the only ones that use the word Advent, but biblically, we are. Now, by the way, if you want to take any picture, you be quick, because I need to move on because of our time, okay? Are you an Adventist? The question, are you an Adventist? Some of you may say, no, I'm not, because I feel like I was not baptized in this church yet. So, hold on, okay? Keep listening. And I hope at the end of this message, all of you will stand up as an Adventist. That's my prayer and my hope. Are you a member of God's end-time remnant? The word remnant means the ones who remain to the truth, no matter what. No matter what states, no matter what happens, and stay put. I am God's property, and nothing is going to be move me from this. If they take my life, let it be. If they take my family, let it be. If they take everything that I have, the only thing they cannot take is my faith in God. And that is what makes me a remnant. Who are anxiously expecting, I like the word, anxiously expecting the soon return of someone extremely important, and that someone is our Abba, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming to take us home. So who are you? Are you a member of the remnant church?
Yes.
Are you the one who is expecting with all, are you anxious?
Yes.
Are you stressed out about it? When is he coming? Because he is so important. The most important being that you ever will meet in your entire existence. Seventh-day points back to the beginning of creation. Pay attention to this, because I already gave you a hint where we're going to be this. Seventh-day points back to the beginning of creation. So when did our Seventh-day Adventist Church start? At creation. That's when our church is started. Put this to your beautiful skull there. Okay? We started when God started.
Amen.
We did not create the church. He creates the church. He creates the church in you and creates you as part of his church. So in the beginning, that is when the church started. And Adventist points forward to the beginning of eternity. That's how you need to project your existence as a Seventh-day Adventist, as an Adventist, is from creation to redemption. Nothing in between will remove us from this conviction. And the second coming is the climax of our faith, is when we are rewarded for remaining faithful to Him. That's how our journey is. 7 day points back to creation. And by the way, the first members of the church, my father, was my father, Adam. And my good looking mother, Eve. They remain in the church for almost 1,000 years. And they are sleeping because they are waiting for that day when eternity will start for them. That's when I meet my mom and my dad. That's when you're going to meet your mom and your dad. And we'll be transformed because, you know, I don't want Adam and Eve look at us and say, ooh, my child. No, God is going to transform us to look like them. And going to transform them to look like God wants them to be. And we all be transformed. And that day is beautiful. And I tell you always, I'm going to get my hair back. When Jesus returns, He will redeem His people. And I got a smile to all of those that look like me here. I noticed. When Jesus returns, He will redeem His people forever. Forever, because evil will never stand up again. Forever and ever and ever. And let me pick a little pause here. To those that are blessing us with their presence through the prayer meeting. Our prayer meeting sometimes is devotional, but sometimes it's theological as well. And we discuss a lot the character of God. And those of you that are missing prayer meeting, you're missing a lot of good things that we are showing about the character of the God. And if you do not know that God, it's going to be very hard for you ever to become a Seventh-day Adventist or any kind of Adventist. When Jesus returns, He will redeem us from the power of evil. And evil will come to an end. And that end is very soon. Now, my brothers and sisters, our beliefs determine our actions. Do you understand that, right? What we put in our minds comes back into actions. What shapes our actions is what we believe. And in order for you to be a true child of God, you need to believe what you need to know who God is so you can act like one. So here it comes, our idea. Before, quickly here, I'm going to make a pause by saying this. There was a couple that was attending one of the Seventh-day Adventist churches in the area. And that couple was almost every Sabbath there in the church. They participated in Sabbath school. Sometimes they even have a special music. And they were very active. So one day, this is a true story. One day the pastor came to them and says, excuse me, where do you have your membership? They said, oh, we don't have our membership anywhere. Aren't you a Seventh-day Adventist? Because you already participate in church service. You already have a prayer in front. You sing with us. You are here very faithfully every Sabbath. So, no. We are not baptized yet. And then the pastor said, can we go over the beliefs of the church? He said, oh, we know all the beliefs of the church. And how come you're not baptized yet? Oh, because there are two beliefs of the 28 that we cannot accept. There are two of them. And the pastor very curious said, which one? And I'm going to lead a suspense. I'm not going to tell you the truth. Okay? That's not fair, Pastor. Yes, it is, because I do on purpose. There is a reason. There's two of them that says, no, I cannot believe. I will only be baptized if you guys accept the way we are. Sadly, the sad part of the story is the pastor did baptize them. I would. How can you say to somebody, you're pretending to be something, I'm going to go along and let you continue pretending. That is not the way it's supposed to be. So here comes the list. Our biblical beliefs. I'm going to just list them. Some of you, I may ask some of you, do you have an idea who they are? All our beliefs? Probably not, because it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to memorize. Some memorize, some know in part. Some of you have a kind of an idea, but here is there very, very quickly, okay? Read with me. When you see the screen, just read with me. The Holy Scriptures. Which one is that one? The first one. And that is that you've already got that right. Because the foundation is the first. Without that one, all the other 27 will collapse. Okay? So that is the number one. Then the Trinity. We have people now that claim to be Seventh-day Adventists. But they oppose the belief of the Trinity. Because they think that by believing there is three persons, we are actually three gods. And by the way, if the church will be teaching that we have three gods, I would not be part of the church either. Because our church does not believe there's three gods. Our church believes there's three persons but one God. And the Bible says there is only one God. And of course, one God is defined, one person of the Trinity is defined as Father. But if you read Isaiah 9 verse 6, it's also called Jesus the Father. If you go to John chapter 1, the Word is also the Creator. Okay? So the number 4 is the Son. And then says the Holy Spirit. Many people say, oh, the Holy Spirit is just a force. But the Bible talks about His feelings, His actions. It talks about Him as a person. Okay? Creation. Look around. We know that some creation took place. Right? The only thing is, who do we give credit for creation? To a bug? I used to have a prison ministry, and the ministry developed, became big. We had more than 20-some baptisms in one single occasion. But there was one person that came one day to the study, and he started to create problems. And he says, so how can you believe the Bible? The Bible is this. And he said that creation was not something that was God created, that we came by evolution. And because I need to move on, I said something. When you're younger, you say things that maybe when you're older, you're wiser, and you don't say. But I said to them, look, I like to explain to you carefully and with kindness, but if you want to believe that your mother was a monkey, that is your monkey business. I believe that God created me, and believe me, I feel better that way. And we move on, and the guy disappeared, never showed up there. Okay, but that's basically what I said to him. That's your monkey business if you want to. Because people are so anxious to, they rather give a credit to a monkey than to give credit to God. Anyway, okay, this is the first seven, the nature of humanity. Okay, now we're going to go to the next one. The great controversy between good and evil, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, and then the experience of salvation, growing in Christ, the church, the remnant and its mission, unity in the body of Christ. You notice that they come as a group. Some of them is all part of the same, but just for clarification, they are separated in different. But if you can, I was trying to group them. It's almost like 10 groups of them, if you put them together, okay? And then it says baptism, the Lord's Supper, which is communion, is spiritual gifts and ministries, the gift of prophecy, and no church all around the world, believe me, no church deals with prophecy like this one. And of course, the Sabbath, not a Sabbath. Okay, there's no such thing as a Sabbath. There is the Sabbath. Why the D? Look right in between the word Sabbath. Abba is there. It's talking about the Him. Okay? Stewardship. Oh, how many people skip that part? They have trouble about giving. They want And notice what I did with Christian. Did you know the word? The E-N, Ian, is actually John. And the word John means a gift from God. Now you put the word, the two together. Christ is a gift from God. Christian. That's what Christian behavior. All right? Marriage and the family. Marriage according to the Bible, not according to the state of California or the high court of this country. Christ's ministry and the heavenly sanctuary. The second coming of Christ. Death and resurrection. The millennium and the end of sin and the new earth. Those are the 20 beliefs and identifies who a Seventh-day Adventist biblical student is, member is, a child of God is. Okay? Now, am I an Adventist if my life does not reflect the biblical beliefs held by the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Can we have both ways? Can we 28, I like 27, I like 26. Sometimes we pretend, we criticize, we throw rocks on the Roman Catholics because they took two commandments out of the 10. And we are doing exactly the same thing. The only thing is that we're doing with beliefs. We act the same way and we're trying to throw rocks. Be careful. The five solas of the Reformation. The Reformation came up with this idea. Sola gratia, which means by grace alone. Sola fide, by faith alone. And then solus Christus, by Christ alone. And they came with the sola scriptura, by Bible alone. And soli Deo gloria, glory to be to God only. This is the five that Reformation came. But I didn't find this perfect. So I create a Seventh-day Adventist version. Okay? The seven essentials. By the way, this one you're not going to find it anywhere. Okay? The seven essentials of Adventism. Here are they. I took those five from the Reformation and I add something else to it. So the basic one. Number one, sola scriptura. Bible in the Bible alone. Okay? And then sola veritas. What is veritas? He knows. The truth only. Because see the reformers, they said only the Bible, but they skipped the truth. So they manipulate the Bible to say what they want, but actually they are falling more than their mother, the Roman Church, than the Bible itself. In other words, I keep the 28, I keep only 27, I'm still Seventh-day Adventist. Almost there, so I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Not so. And then it says, sola, by faith alone. The Bible says clearly, without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Okay? Sola scriptura, only the truth, only by faith, only by grace. Okay? What about the baptism? Jesus Christ said to this very religious man, you must be baptized again. You must be born again. Look, Mark 16:16, you understand why baptism needs to be part of the seven essentials. Okay? And the Bible says, there's only one baptism. There's only one God. There's only one faith. There's only one church. And so, solus Christus. The Bible says there's only one mediator. And then, the number seven, soli Deo gloria. Everything that we do is only for the glory of God. Only God can be pleased. Only God can be worshipped. No one else. Those, in my humble understanding, will be the seven essentials for us to resume all the 28 into seven essentials for eternal salvation. Only the Bible. Only the truth, only by faith, only through grace, we must be baptized, we must be born again in Christ Jesus. That is the only one, the way, the truth, and life. and glory be to the only one who is really our God. Sola Scriptura, the Holy Scriptures. I'm going to go a little bit fast, okay? And I will do this. And if I have to stop a little bit, I will. Okay? Sola Scriptura is the belief that is true. Take a picture of this one because you need to understand what Sola Scriptura means. Sola Scriptura by Bible alone is the belief that Scripture is God's inspired word. Therefore, it is the only rule of faith and practice for every believer and every biblical church. A minister or a member of a committee once asked me, Pastor Elson, do you believe in the spirit prophecy? And I knew that it was a trick question. So I answered this way. I believe that anything written by anyone that is 100% according to the scripture is to be accepted. Oh no, you did not answer my question. Do you believe in the spirit prophecy? I said, I believe that anything written by anyone, including Helen G. White or anybody else, James White or anybody else, that is 100% in accordance with the Bible, it is to be accepted.
Amen.
And that is my belief, brothers and sisters. Because the Bible and the Bible alone, and by the way, if you take the baptismal certificate, I have one copy here, it says number 5, that we believe that the Bible is the only source through our faith. And that's what makes us very unique. Remember a few weeks ago I mentioned to you that even the Roman Catholic Church, the Bishop of New York, Gibson, he said this, the only group out there that really respect the Bible and obey the Bible only is this little group called the Seventh-day Adventists. He said a little group, they're not that little anymore, but he says that little group, that was in the 1800s, that little group that the only group that really keep the Bible as the only source. And believe me, brothers and sisters, as long as this church keep this and practice this, I am part of this church. But if this church ever become tempted to become like everybody else, I follow the truth. I'm not here to follow men. All the scriptures, how much of it?
All
the scriptures is given by inspiration of God. And what is good is for? It's good for doctrine. It's good for what? To reprove. What else? For correction. What else? For instruction in righteousness. What is righteousness? Like God. To be like God. It's the only instrument that guides us to be like God. 2 Timothy 3:16, New King James Version. And continue, my brothers and sisters. But even if we, who is we? Not us. Oh, for you to understand, you have to read the rest. Okay. Or an angel from heaven. That's Paul speaking. He says, even if we, the apostles, have you heard people saying, all the church saying, oh, John started going to church on Sunday because he says on the Lord's Day. Have you heard that before? They say it all the time. They say, oh, the apostles started going to church because, see, they got to get to break bread. They were just taking a meal. That's all they were. They ate in their tortillas. That's all they were having. They were bringing some tortillas there. That has nothing to do with it. But they say those things. But even if we, said the apostles, the ones that you think that has authority, or an angel, the word angel here was not translated, means a messenger from heaven. He is basically saying, but even if we or God himself shows up, he will not change. And I'll tell you why, because it says, I am the Lord, I change not. So if somebody comes and tells you something that, oh, the Lord says this, that's a different Lord. It's with a little L. It's not a big L. It's a little L Lord. Preach any other gospel to you than what you have, what we have preached to you, let be accursed. You know what accursed means? Doomed. He is part of the dragon staff. He is going to be barbecued just with the dragon. That's what he's reserved. Fire is coming up for him. So that's what Galatians Please mark this in your Bible. You need this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Here's the verse 9 says. He says, you know what? We said, and you know why he said twice? Because the Bible says you need to have a two witness to establish a fact. So he says, as we said before, and so I say it again. If anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him or her, of course, be accursed. That's clear. When somebody says, oh, but, no, the Bible says, and what the Bible says, it is. Be sure. This is what Moses told the people of Israel. Be sure, and he's telling us the same thing. Be sure to do everything I have commanded you. Do not add anything to it, and do not take anything from it. Why? Because the Lord changes not. You are not in the business to accommodate your beliefs according to what you want. This is not like I have a feeling. You know that we live in a time right now that everybody has a feeling. Everybody has an opinion about everything, and their opinion is sacred. Nothing else is sacred, just their opinion. What a pure name in the world that we live in. Attacking the Word. Revelation 12, verse 17, and I thought maybe you never made this application to it. Maybe this is the first time. Let me share this with you. And the dragon was angry at the woman, the church, God's people, and declared war against the rest of her children. Why the rest? Because the one who decide to stay in. The ones that kicked out to be popular, to be with everybody else, they don't count. The ones that count is the one who remains faithful, her children. And then it says, all who keep, here's the idea, who keep the God's commandments and maintain their testimony of Jesus. Now, for 1,260 years, the Roman Church and all her daughters persecuted and killed people in public, sent them on fire, and they enjoyed and took their property. They did this for centuries. But actually, they were not trying to kill the people. Pastor, what did you just say? We always believe, everybody, all the sermons that I have preached, that I heard people preach, they all say, it says that they killed the people. You said a few seconds ago that all that Satan was doing is trying to destroy, is to try to silence this. They killed them because they carried the printed word inside of their lives by their behavior. That's why the Satan was killing them. Killing them to destroy the word. Remember the Waldenses, they sometimes hide pieces of the scriptures inside of their clothing. So they will tear from the mountains the caves, and they will tear their coat and read. Sometimes this more a portion, but they read that like they were seeing God in there with so much passion. And here are we, having Bibles in our hand, Bible there in the pew, Bible everywhere, and we still don't read. Oh, mercy. Okay, Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience, we read this before, all the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What is the faith of Jesus? The faith of Jesus, the faith of the Father, and our faith should be exactly the same faith. Attacking the truth, the entirety of your word is truth. How much of the truth is truth? I tell people in my class, baptismal class, I tell the young people, I said, if a person is 999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 99.99999% saved is saved is 100% lost. The entirety of your word is truth. In order to be the truth, has to be 100%. And everyone, there goes the emphasis again, of your righteous judgment endures as long as the Roman Church wants. now as long as God wants, and that is forever. Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, everything that God creates is forever. Meaning the truth, you, I, everything. The evil came to try to interfere, to stop the process. But God's in His grace, in His redemptive power, He will restore us to what He always intended us to be, which is forever. Psalms 119, verse 160. Psalm 119 is all about the law of God. The whole psalm is about the law of God. So when it says, your judgment is talking about the character of God, the law of God. Okay? That is what it's talking about. Sanctify them by your truth. This truth. Your word is truth. John 17:17. I hope that when you become... Is anybody here at the age of 17? Okay, this is a verse that you must memorize. 17:17. It is time for you to make a decision in your life to sanctify your life. 17:17. When you're 17, I remember when I was 17, I said I have to make my choice. And thank God that I was 16 or I was 17, I became part of what I became. A child of God. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. The only way that you people can be sanctified is the truth is that in you. Because where is the God is present, sanctification comes with it. Okay? We are almost there. And you will know the truth. And the truth will make you the happiest person ever.
Amen.
By the way, all the other types of freedom is a deceptive freedom. When we celebrate the 4th of July, we are free. We are free from the British. We are free to... Look really closely, we are not free of anything. There is no such thing as freedom. We all are created to be dependent on each other. Freedom sometimes is a foolishness, illusion. It's not possible for anyone in creation to be free in that sense. We are all responsible to each other, to the world that we are part of. So in that sense, we are all connected. We don't want freedom because freedom that causes us to think that we are individuals, and by the time we are thinking we are individuals, that we are better than anybody else, that's just foolishness. So it says, and you will know the truth. And by the way, to know here, you know when the husband knows the wife, and they become one? Then the Bible says, when they get married, they become one. When the Bible says, and if you know the truth, means if you marry the truth, and if you become one with the truth, and now it's no longer two but one, and the truth is in you, like you cannot get rid of it, it's part of what you are, then you are free indeed.
Amen.
That's what you're free in. Okay? Oh, now I know I want to make this as well because it took me time to put this together. I am the truth. John 14, verse 6. And look how it has come from the palm of His hand. I am the truth. So if you are searching for the truth, He says, I am. And then, next one that I put together, He says, for I am the Lord. Can you read with the Lord? I do not change. Let me share something with you. I hope you'll be able to make the same statement, not the part that says, I am the Lord. But instead, I'd like you to say, I am with the Lord, and I do not change. Can you say that with me? I am with the Lord, and I do not change, not now, not tomorrow, not ever. Because once I am with the Lord, I am His. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And what path is that? Jesus Christ Himself said, I am the way. Brothers and sisters, there are a lot of versions out there. Versions of the truth, versions of the Bible. You have to be very careful to examine the word. Because there are today versions and Be careful, there are all there versions and
diverse.
Do you know the difference between the two?
Yeah.
A version, we speak, we repeat faithfully the facts. A diversion is the opposite. It tries to introduce all the things to corrupt the facts. And turn, it looks like the truth. Remember that? All right. And by the way, diversions is the ID backwards. You see the ID? It's a fake ID. That's why it's backwards. If they put a fake ID before the diversion, it becomes diversions. Now, let me close. Let me tell you a true story. Some of you may know that I was born in Brazil. I'm an American, but I was born in Brazil. And in Brazil, there is, around February, there is a three-day party. Anybody have an idea what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's what you call here in Bahia. In Brazil, they call carnival. We say carnival. Okay, but you spell with the I. That's the way you spell it. Carnival. Okay? Carne means flesh. So now you know that when you think time to please the flesh. Imagine what you think happens in those 3 days. You see on television sometimes our pictures, the people dress very sophisticated. This is started as a celebration, the slaves in Brazil. There was granted 3 days free to celebrate, to have a party. And so what they did is that they collect some way to try to dress like the queen, like the their bosses and everything else, but to make fun of them. And they were allowed without being punished. So they thought there was a way for them to, because of their fame, because of all the abuse that they received, this was the 3 days that they really, you know. But with the years went by, the whole thing corrupted a little bit. And now there's a celebration of paganism. They mix paganism with all things and the pleasures of the flesh. So for 3 days, the police is driving nuts because there is so much crime, so much drug abuse and everything else. There is a good part of it. There are people that behave well, but there are people that take the opportunity to do something bad. So, what the churches, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, do there in Brazil? They program retreats, youth retreats, for all of them to get out of the cities. And we go to other places, and the youth spend 3 days in revival, having fun, and spiritual. I went to some of them a few times. But to those that could not afford to go to retreats, the church had a 3 days vigil. They start worship service in the churches. All Seventh-day Adventists from the entire country. And by the way, Seventh-day Adventists, there are more Seventh-day Adventists, I believe, in Brazil now than any other place in the world. You know, there are a lot of Seventh-day Adventists. I believe, I'm not sure about the facts. So don't throw me stones on me, please. Okay? I don't want to build anything. I don't have anything to build on. So I don't need the stones on. So, but I believe there are so many Seventh-day Adventists, at least those that claim to be, in Brazil. And so what happened is that for 3 days, they all go to church. I went many times to Brazil. And we stayed from 6 o'clock in the afternoon until 6 o'clock the next morning. We pray, they display prophecy, sing songs, the young people preach, and some of the older people preach. And we spent the whole night praying, and from time to time we stopped just to kneel and pray, and then sing more, and this the whole night. For 12 hours we did this. 3 days. This is how the church had its, you know, was strong. And one young man, I'm going to name him Eduardo, just to pick a name, he went to the vigil. But he could not stay the whole night. So around 2 o'clock to 2:30 a.m., he left to go home. And here is he walked on the streets, and suddenly the Christmas tree, the lights stopped him. Hey, young man, stop. Yes? Yes? Let me see some ID. I'm sorry, officer, I don't have any. Get in. Put him in. He took him to the police station. They were packed with all sorts of human beings and those that don't look like humans anymore. They were all there. And they were in cages. And they put him with those lions. If you like Daniel there, push him there with the lions. And they look at him like a, you know like the dogs look at. They look at him, and he was scared to death. And they went to interview another one. Finally came his turn to be interviewed. And he was brought in, sit down, and says, okay, young man, how come you were in the streets? Are you up to no good? Oh, no, sir. No. I came from church. Every people in the country think that he's a lion. There's no church that's open at 2 a.m. in the morning. No church. I know there's no mass, Catholic mass on at that time. I know the Pentecostals, they like to have their worshiping too late, but not that late. The Baptists, the Methodists, and the mind of this police officer went all over. No, this doesn't make any sense. You must be lying. What church? Oh, we are Seventh-day Adventist. We have this vigil, and the police officer, vigil, what in the world, what is that? He couldn't understand what he was talking about. But then he says, what church again did you say? Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, so they heard, because the church is well known, because Mother's Day and everything else, you hear the name of the church in every channel, every TV station. That's one thing the Brazilian church has done. Every Mother's Day, they talk about it, Seventh-day Adventist in the entire country. So at least people hear the name. Seventh-day Adventist. Give me a sec. He opened his drawer, and he had the Bible. So he put the Bible in the hand of the young man, Eduardo, and said, okay, show me where is the Ten Commandments. And this was Eduardo. Here, sir. He knew it was Exodus 20. That's okay, give me the Bible. Give back the Bible to them. But now, recite to me the Ten Commandments, and I will know that you are truly a Seventh-day Adventist. How many are you, how long will you have been in jail if that will be your case? He was nervous, he was tired because he had been all night. But he calmed down, he tried. And the police officer said, take your time. But you won't leave this place until you give me all 10. Then I'll believe that you will be a Seventh-day Adventist. Eventually he did. And after he finished, the police officer gave him a smile and said, get into the car. I'm going to take you home.
Amen.
Not until you prove that you are truly an Adventist, they will take you home. The Lord is coming to take you home.
Amen.
Are you an Adventist?
Yeah.
Show your ID, brother, sister. God bless. And by the way, I'm not apologizing you for keeping you a little longer, because we are in eternity business. But it's a little bit of time when it's done for the Lord. We are fine. Let's sing together. Let's stand and sing the wonderful words of life.